Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm feeling overwhelmingly grateful is kind of my feeling of the day. I had a lot of free time before the show today and woke up without an alarm, had a nice sleep. I got up, I messed around, did a couple fun things on my computer, and then I went for this, it was hot and sunny outside. And so I went for this beautiful walk. I went for a hike down in the, we had the Red Hill Valley here, which is like just a beautiful, I don't know, a nature spot where the terrain dips and there's a beautiful creek that runs along over rocks and there's some bridges and it's really, really nice. It's full of foliage, you know, with it being like beginning of June. And if you get up the trail at the right point, there's like a sushi place I love, like a block away. So I stopped my hike to go to sushi. Yes. And then I went back on the trail and came back. And it was great because it was so sunny and hot. Worked up a sweat. But there was a storm brewing. And there's a storm, like a really loud and strong storm right now. So if I get cut off, I might lose my power. I'm not sure. It's been thunder and lightning here. But it was interesting to look at the sky and watch, like, you know, like those really big storm clouds come in. And it wasn't like they just kind of came in from, like, you know, over the horizon. But you could see them kind of building, you know, like where they're, like, really, really thick and they're billowing. And you can see, like, they almost look, I mean, I hate to use the comparison, but they almost look like atom bomb where, like, you could see them growing up top and inside of them and stuff. It was just so beautiful. So it was wonderful. And it was just, I had some music in my ears on the trip home, and it was just a lovely experience. And, I just love going for walks. It's like one of my favorite things to do. And it always, you know, after I get through, like, about, you know, if I ever find myself, like, excited about things or things I want to accomplish or emails I want to send out or things I want to create, which is all great energy, and it's all super exciting to be creative and to have that excitement about what you're going to do next and what you're going to create. But I find that once I'm on a walk for like 10, 15 minutes or so, then it's like those thoughts and the ramblings of my mind have a opportunity to cool down. And then, you know, as I continue, it's just blissful. It's just so easy. It's just wonderful to just enjoy the thoughts and have the thoughts slow down and be able to take in, you know, what the clouds look like. And watching a chipmunk like dig this hole in the ground. I don't know why he was doing it. I don't know. Did they live in there? I have no idea. But it was just interesting to watch him just stop and just take in all the life that's going on around you. And there's so much busyness and so much just life happening. And when you get out of your head and you're able just to receive, you know, what, you know, all the visuals and all the audio from what's going on around you, you just really feel connected. And you really just, you know, gratitude just comes really quickly and really easily in that state.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. And I'm the same way. I just love being sort of dropped into those moments where that's all you feel is just the gratitude. It's so lovely, so lovely. My week was a little different than that because I was working. I finalized my 10-day meditation series, and so I was busy researching and getting quotes and trying to upload to finding somewhere to upload so that people can download them when they purchase or buy CDs. So I'm doing sort of both things. So it was a bit of a learning curve, and I was just, it was really interesting because I'm trying to stay in the flow and not get frustrated when, you know, things don't end up the way I think they should. So it was interesting in that way. And I'm always learning stuff lately about, you know, when you go into these new endeavors and you end up learning a lot, especially if you're doing it, you know, on your own. So my gratitude comes from that, from the internet and and the vast amount of knowledge and information that you can glean from it, and so that you can do these things for yourself. So that was kind of my week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is so awesome, you know, and when you start to feel gratitude like that, you know, like when I was having my lunch, you know, I went on my phone for, I don't know, maybe it was 20 minutes or so, and I'm just checking up on, like, you know, inspirational people I know online and people I've been following for some time, and just checking in with their latest blog posts or their latest thoughts or journals or videos. And it's just a really amazing thing that the internet provides. It's like this ability to not, you can still, like, get the essence of somebody, or still, you know, like in your case. And first of all, I mean, congratulations on finishing the meditation CDs and the 10 days of meditation, because I know you've been working on it a long time. But that when somebody is ready for it, it'll be there waiting for them. It's like you have it there for them. It's like, here, come pick it up whenever you need it. It's like super friendly and, like, really, I don't know, it's like giving, and it's a beautiful thing to be like, here, it's in the mailbox whenever you want it. And I think that's really nice, because, you know, it allows us to stay, you know, that, at least with the internet, allows us to stay in the moment where we don't have to go and do something at a certain time. And I certainly appreciate that, being the type of person I am.
Yeah, I think I've, it's that whole being able to let go of the time, the timeline, which was really interesting, because I was having a conversation with Peter just before I came to my office to get online for the show. And I said, oh, yeah, I was talking about some friend I had back in university, and how I said a couple of years ago I tried to look him up because I wondered what happened to him. And I went, a couple of years ago. It could have been 10 years, but time is so loose for me now that I have no idea. Like, I could say, oh, do you remember last week when such and such happened? And my daughter will say, Mom, that was 3 months ago. And I think it used to bother me, but now I think it's just because the more time you spend in the present moment, the less important time becomes, and you don't get caught up in it as much. That's my take on it anyway. I don't know if that's really what's happening, but that's a story that makes me comfortable with it.
You know, I have to agree with you, and I wonder, you know, I haven't put too much thought into this, actually, and I think this might be an excellent show topic at some point. As I think about it more, you know, when I think about myself 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, I mean, time was everything to me. It was the most important thing, and not only because I never felt like I had enough, and that I was kind of, I remember myself always being in a state of, like, wishing away this time so I can get to the next time. You know, I wish I could, you know, finish this semester so that I could, you know, be in the summertime. I wish, I was always wishing away today for tomorrow. Number one was probably my unhealthy relationship with time. And I felt like I always had to, you know, that when my schedule had things in it, I always resisted them. I was like, ah, crap, you know, I got to go to baseball practice tonight and I'd rather do this, or, you know, oh man, I have to go and deliver papers when I get home from school, or wherever in my life, you know, these thoughts were always the same, you know. And it wasn't until I started doing the work and reading and becoming educated and meeting people like you and that it really helped me have a much more accepting relationship with time, and, you know, obviously reducing the importance of time, because honestly it doesn't really, really exist if you go deep enough into that question. And it's just all spending moments of now, and how futile it is to resist now and not accept and to fight what is. And I think time is a major culprit in that kind of sickness of thought that we kind of are just led into believing, because so much of our life is structured from such an early age. You know, you have to be at school at a certain time, you have to be at work at a certain time, you have to have lunch at a certain time, recess is 15 minutes instead of 2:10 every day. You know, it works for order, and it works, you know, to organize, especially children. I can't imagine if they were just all allowed to do whatever they wanted to do, but I'm not sure it's necessarily good for the psyche moving forward. And I think that's what, you know, we hope to accomplish here on this show sometimes, is to break some of those attachments we have to ideas regarding certain constructs and concepts that were used perhaps against us and maybe against our expressing of ourselves as we get older, and having us feel okay without the need of everything else, cigarettes, alcohol, you know, excess of money, excess of luxuries, you know, excess of people, you know, relationships that would give us what we finally wanted. All of these things become kind of fall away when you, you know, I think they're all kind of connected, and you just kind of break the chains one at a time, and you're left on a walk just feeling how great it is to be alive for as long as you get to be.
Exactly. Well, you know what? In truth, I think everybody needs that free, unstructured time at least once during their week, just to be able to do nothing if they want, or go for a walk, or not have to worry about having to be somewhere at a certain time in a certain place for a certain purpose. But just, I mean, when I was a kid, and that was a long time ago, we had like 80% of our free time was free time. Like, they didn't have the same kind of structured organized sports that they do now. Our organized sports was my brother saying, come on, let's go outside and play hockey on the street, right? Or let's go down to the park and play baseball, or, you know, let's throw the football around, or let's get our friends together and have a game of football. That was really our form of organized sports. There was a lot more left to the imagination, and there was a lot more time with which to just be. And I think that's something that's missing now. You know, finding some balance between overscheduling and having, you know, maybe too much free time. But find that balance of being able to let go of time and not be so structured all the time, because I think it's when we're in those moments of unstructuredness that our creativity can blossom and grow, and I think that's important, especially for kids who are in school learning, because I think it helps them to be better learners. So,
yeah. And almost better at managing themselves too, you know. When we're overstructured, you know, we don't have to think. You know, we'll just be shuttled from one thing to the next. And not only when you talk about free time, I think also the great amount of unsupervised time that it seems to me through stories and talking to people from your generation, not to make such a gap, but you know, it's almost unheard of to leave a kid alone. I mean, you don't leave them alone. it's just like this thing that's become what the heck? You can't just leave a kid alone, you know. And if the kid is perfectly fine alone, oh, they must be strange. We have to go and interact with them. You know, I can't imagine. You know, I go to family. It's actually triggering a whole bunch of things. I go to like family. You know, whatever. You know, Christmases, birthdays, Easter's, whatever. Right. And you have like newborns and kids under the age of like, I don't know, 6, right? And it seems to me, there seems to be this paradox with parents, and maybe this is just me as an outsider not being a parent. I don't know. But I watch them. I do deal with a whole bunch of kids, and I do try to apply these principles I think of with them. Not to say that I'm just on the outside just throwing stones. But I see the kids, like, all the parents want is for the kid to, like, be okay. Like, just don't, like, be happy and don't bother me. And that would be an ideal next 20 minutes, right? And then it's like, mm-hmm. I watch my generation with kids. You know, I'm 34, and so a lot of my peers are having these young kids now. And I watch them, and the kid is perfectly content. You know, they might not be doing something necessarily great. I mean, they might be smashing a truck into the side of the couch or something. I don't know. But, like, they're fine. Like, they're totally engaged in what they're doing. And not only just for, like, hey, don't do that, but it's like they see the kid, and they're like, oh, kid, I want to get them excited about something, you know. So they're like, oh, come here, I'll read you that book that's beside you. And the kid like doesn't want to, and it fusses, and it's like, oh, come here. And they grab the kid and they put him on the lap, and the kid squirms and then starts to make this noise, and like, oh no, just read, you like this book. And it's like, oh my God, the kid was fine. This is not the kid's problem. This is the adult who can't sit still problem. This is the stimulus addicted adult who is like, hey, child, let's make them excited because I like that. And then it's like, then they have this whole like conflict. And not only, I mean, talk about not doing something good for the kid. I mean, I wouldn't like that. I mean, if I'm sitting here, if I'm doing something in my free time, if I'm reading a book or I'm on my walk and somebody like grabs my arm and says, hey, come over here, let's do this. And I'm like, no, man, like I wouldn't like that as a 34-year-old. I can't imagine a 5-year-old likes it, you know. And then it's like, oh, the 5-year-old's being fussy. He's tired. He must go to bed. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying things, but I constantly watch this because I don't have kids of my own to have to like make sure they're not dying, right?
But making sure they're not dying and making sure that every moment is filled with some kind of stimulus are two different things, don't you think?
Yeah,
really?
It's my little rant I wasn't prepared for, but man, I just, it drives me up the wall when I watch it, and I watch adults interrupt children. Oh, it's just backwards.
Yeah. But you know what? It's everything comes full circle. And I think those kids will probably end up being very hands-off kind of parents because they know what it's like to be hovered over, right? You know, we got the helicopter parents and the bubble wrap parents. And I think, you know, when I was a kid, I think my parents were more absentee as far as, I mean, we lived up the hill from a park, and we would spend all day at the park. You know, come home when the streetlights go on, or you come home and you're hungry for lunch or whatever it is. I can't tell you how many times I went to the park with my brother and then came home with my brother and run in the house and say to my mother, oh, my brother, you know, he hurt himself on the slide, or, oh, he did this. Or, you know, he was always getting into some kind of, you know, trouble and getting injured or whatever. It's just the way it was, but that's not the way it is now. And, you know, I think speaking on a spiritual level, I think it's we're trying as parents, when we do that, we're trying to allay our fear of something happening to this child and the guilt we might feel when that happens. So it's our guilt that we're trying to keep at bay. But in the meantime, that child is losing all sense of, you know, decision making and freedom and creativity and imagination.
You know, and I don't know whether this is just me or whether it's this is me evolved, but like one of the things, and I say this all the time, but one of the things that I love most about like living life is the ability to focus. Like I love my ability to focus. I love being able to do something and be totally engaged, totally sunk into an activity or a thought or a challenge for like half an hour at a time. And like all of a sudden I look up and like half an hour is gone. And it's like that to me is just so pleasurable, you know, beyond, you know, like I said earlier, going for the walk and being open to sensory, you know, inputs and all these kind of things. That's awesome too. But there's also a time I just love to be fully engaged in something that I'm doing and have an hour or have 2 hours just vanish because I was just totally engaged in what it was that I was doing. And I feel, and maybe because I'm like that, I look out into the world and I see interactions between people, relationships, parents, kids, whatever, teachers, you know, because just that's where I'm, I'm often find myself in situations like that where people are interrupting other people constantly. And it's not just like in conversation where we all agree that's rude to interrupt somebody, but interrupt them as far as what they're doing. You know, like my impulse, my frantic impulse right now is more important than what you're doing. And so I'm going to interrupt, you know, your state of flow so that, you know, I can seemingly get what my brain or my ego wants right this second, you know, being your attention or your answer to this thing that's in me. And it's like this idea that, you know, I think that we should go further, you know, beyond just interrupting people in conversation is impolite, but also to interrupting people when they're obviously engaged in whatever it is they're doing. I mean, even if a kid is leafing through a book and he's not reading it or he's looking at it backwards, like just let them be, you know, because I know that myself, I would really like to be let be when I'm really engaged in something. And it's like, it's almost to the idea earlier when it's like your meditations are up on the internet for whenever you're ready to go listen to them. You know, it's like when I'm looking to engage, then we can engage, you know, if we're both in that state. But to pull somebody out of an area of focus, I think is something is a virtue that isn't so mainstream that I think should probably get more play and should have an increased importance upon as we move forward, just even in our own lives and our own relationships.
Absolutely. I think kids can teach us a lot, and in that they are very connected and adaptive, and they know what they need and what they want right in this moment. And I think sometimes what happens is we teach them not to rely on their own inner voice, and to rely on the outside world to tell them what they want and what they need and, you know, where they're going and, you know, what activities they want to choose. But I think if we leave them to their own device, even in their relating to their siblings, they will sort it out. If they have a problem, if you give them enough space and time, they will sort it out. If they have conflict with their siblings or with other children, if you give them time, they will sort it out. I know when my kids were not that much younger than maybe 10 years ago, and of course, I have to say, I spent the first 20 years as a mother being the referee and wearing my striped shirt, as I used to say, and they became used to that. So we were sitting at the kitchen table and they were across from each other. And it was a constant battle at dinner time. You know, he yelling at her and her yelling at him. And then they both turned to me and say, tell him to stop doing that. And then I would come in with my referee shirt on and try and sort it all out. And one day we're sitting at the table and it started again. And it was like, I finally got it. I sat there and I watched them. And then they did the, you know, both turned to me and said, tell him to stop doing that, tell her to stop doing that. And I went, you know what? This is a conflict between the two of you. Talk to each other, figure it out. I'm not doing it anymore. And I got to say, it got a little worse before it got better, but but that was them sorting it out. And even at that age, after being conditioned for 15 and 20 years, they did learn to sort it out. And now they're the best of friends. And I think, you know, if I hadn't done that, they might not be at this point. So I'm really happy that in that moment I had that little, you know, that little bubble of awareness where I went, oh, yeah, it's time to step back and let them figure it out, because they will, one way or the other. They will figure it out. And I think, you know what? I think you can do that with a 4-year-old as well as you can do it with a 15 or a 20-year-old. I don't think it makes a difference. I think a 4-year-old will do it a lot quicker because they haven't had that conditioning. And they will sort it out. They will sort out their problems. They will sort. If they have to cry and have a temper tantrum, that's okay. But they will learn to sort it out, and they will learn to work through their own issues and emotions and problems on their own. And wow, isn't that just like amazing to know that you can bring your kids up to be able to function and thrive and be in the world in that wonderful, open way that we all wish we could be. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and to not train them to have the impulse to look outside themselves for justice or fairness or a referee or some judgment to come down. You know, to be able to look inside themselves and be able to figure out how it is best that they can get along with the people around them in their lives, you know, rather than, because getting along with somebody is not, you know, if you're at work and you have a problem, is going to management and being like, oh, they did this. And then you have this like squabble. And I know that there's plenty of workplaces like that where everybody's trying to one up one another. And it's miserable. It's a terrible way of interacting with, you know, people who are your peers. And I think we would do well as a society to be able to not only within quarrels or disagreements with the people around us, but just it reaches so much further to have the instinct that, wait a second, I have the answer. You know, I don't have to go outside. I can come up with a positive, you know, solution to this issue that I'm feeling. And I think that would go a long way. And I do want to speak just a little bit earlier to your point of when you talk about how the child would grow up to be a on the sidelines parent, you know, except when their parents are helicoptering over top of them. It is kind of funny how that works, where it's kind of this pendulum, you know, where like one generation is hands off, and so the next generation is hands on, and then because of that, the next generation is hands off. I wonder if that's why we get along, generally speaking, so well with our grandparents, because it's just that skipping of that generation. We're too close, you know, and diametrically opposed in our views of, you know, how best we constantly overcorrect, you know, each other. And it's really, that's a beautiful human thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing about grandparents is they're that much removed. They don't have that same, they have a different emotional investment in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And they can be a little more relaxed and a little more mellow and a little more open, where they might not have been with their own children. So I think it's really important to have those relationships, because I think it all sort of helps to balance it out in the end, and give children that sort of bit of a break when grandma and grandpa are, you know, will listen to them and take the time and have patience with them. You know, when it's sometimes a little harder to have patience with your own kids. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a benefit.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's no wonder why so many cultures do rely so heavily on grandparents to raise children. It's probably no fluke. And just because we haven't necessarily adopted it in white Western culture doesn't mean that it doesn't have mm-hmm. tremendous merit. Maybe we could learn a whole heck of a lot from the benefits of why other cultures do it.
Absolutely. I mean, my mom lives with us now. Now she has her own space. That's, you know, separate from ours. But I noticed that not only my relationship with her, but my daughter's relationship, because she still is living at home, her relationship with her grandmother, which went through a little bit of a sort of stormy period, shall we say, has gotten so much better, and they're so much closer, and there's so much more respect and compassion and honoring of each other just because of having her here and being able to build that relationship. It's really been amazing. I think it is beneficial. And I see, and I really can understand how the extended family living under one roof can have its benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm always a proponent of, you know, when it comes to education systems and so on, this intergenerational relating. You know, young kids benefit so much by being with the elderly, and the elderly benefit so much by being around young kids. And we kind of try to keep people homogenous in their homes, in their retirement homes, in their schools across the street, and they don't interact. And I think it's a shame. There's a lot of opportunity there for a lot of mutual benefit.
Absolutely.
Well, we've blown through our half an hour so fast today, Bettina. I think we just a couple rants and it's over on my part.
I know. That was like, wow. Speaking of time, yeah. Right? It just
exactly.
went by like a blink.
Yeah.
It's a blink of an eye.
Yeah, awfully pleasurable. But I'll have you sneak in a meditation. Well, not sneak in. I'll have you take the time to take us and lead us through meditation before we finish.
Great. So I don't have to whisper then if we're not sneaking in. I'd love to do it. So let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, take yourself to that place within you where you feel safe and protected, comfortable, loved, and at peace. This is the space where you feel love, you feel gratitude, you feel compassion. This is the space where time does not exist, where you can be in this moment fully and completely connecting to yourself and connecting to the oneness of all that is around you. Sit in this space. Allow yourself to be open and loving, to be kind, to be accepting and tolerant, to step back and allow others to move through their journey in the way that they need to do, and know that it is all perfect and wonderful and in universal timing. And that your journey is yours to be traveled at the rate of speed that you need to do it, in the time that you need, and in the way that's right for you, just as each of us must do so as well. As you walk through the linear time of the human existence, remember that you are sitting in eternity as you live each present moment, one after another, and that the richness and the fullness of life are brighter, more textured, more colorful, and absolutely amazing. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
That's great, Tina. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like the de-emphasis on our idea of time. It can put a lot of stress and a lot of comparisons of where we are and where we think we should be in relation to time, that just are futile and useless.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes the pressure off.
Yeah, it really does. Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week, and look forward to seeing you next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.